From the moment I took your hand on the steps of the Great Wall of Effort, which we were bound as one. You may dislike me, hate me if you wish, despise me at times. But love is immortal. It goes on. I will find Skate and I must kill this curse. Then I will go to Tora.
I will discover who killed Ragnar.
And we send him on his way to Valhalla.
At some point I will see you on the battlefield.
I won't hesitate to kill you.
Does not mean you do not love me.
Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So grab an ale, sit back and relax. Let's see how England was born. And welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and this is a momentous occasion, ladies and gents. Momentous.
Okay.
Mary got it right. She got the whole thing right. She waited for the drop. She got the whole intro. I mean, it's a new year.
New year, new me.
New Mary, man.
I can follow instructions this time. You know, I gave the kids, our children, a nice pep talk. Today was their first day back to school. And I said, okay, guys, here are some goals that I want you to work on. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to have positive mindsets. I want to make sure that we're always kind. And let's just do what the teacher asks us to do in the way they want to. Because right now, one of our children likes to say, yeah, I think I can do the math a better way. Which, yeah. Let's be real, Common Core, it's a little weird, right? But this one child challenges the system.
Oh, yeah. She challenges. Oh.
Just outed her.
Sure, whatever.
Fine.
Whatevs.
It is what it is.
That one child challenges everything, just school.
But we love her. We love her for it. And we try to encourage it. But, you know, so I'm following the rules in this matter. There are times you can break the rules. I mean, let's be real. Uhtred breaks all the rules. But there are moments like now where I know it would make you happy if I actually read the script correctly.
Yes, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, everybody, we want to remind you, if you're watching this on Facebook or on YouTube, that you can actually find this podcast in your podcatcher of choice. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you are in Apple Podcasts, we would absolutely love it if you left us a review and rating. You could find all of our other podcasts too by going to maryandblake.com. We're on social media. If you're not in our Facebook community, just search Mary and Blake there. And we want to thank all of our friends at jointhenerdclan.com for making this and all of our podcasts possible. If you're not yet a member there, you are going to want to check it on out, as this is listener supported by listeners like you. So jointhenerdclan.com. On that note, let's get into the show. Okay, if it's been a little while since you've watched The Last Kingdom, and, you know, it's been holiday break for us, so we've taken a little bit of time as well. Here's the scoop! Episode 306. Edward says, Dad, are we going to save Uhtred? Fine, whatever, I'll do it myself. And Alfred's actually really proud of him and says, you didn't listen to instructions. That's what a king does. You're going to be king soon. No kidding, Alfred. Could have seen that one coming. The bad Weasley guy, what's his name? Knut Weasley, totally outs Ethelwald. Guess what? He's the one that killed him. Really? Mm-hmm. Yep, he is. And Uhtred and Breeda take over this episode in the most beautiful way.
Yes. Oh, man, so good.
So that's to remind you where we all were when we last left off.
Thank you. All right. And the details of this episode, you know, a great episode. a very good episode. Episode 306. We are more than halfway done now with season 3 of The Last Kingdom. The director was John East. If you remember that name, you should, because he has directed episodes 203, 204, and the last episode, 305. And the writer was Sophie Petzl. You may remember that name as well.
Her name sounds like pretzel.
You may remember that name as well.
I will.
Because she wrote the episode 204. So that is that. Marvin, your boring details, as always, the details that you hate are now done. There you go. So what do you have for your, what's it called?
Shields rating.
Shields rating. Thank you so much.
I'm giving this episode a 4.9. Wicked high.
Really?
I loved this episode.
Stop it. Really?
Yes, I did, Blake.
Wow. I am shocked.
Good.
I am shocked and awed.
Good.
Over this.
I loved this episode.
Oh, very good. Very good. All right. For me, I'm giving it a 4.7. It's not that I didn't like it. I actually quite liked it a lot. The stuff with like story kind of annoyed me a little bit. And... well, you know what? I'll get into it in the GBG. What do you have for your good, your bad, and your great, my love?
My good is the Breeda is a badass.
Yeah.
Breeda's a badass, and I just love me some time with Breeda and her taking charge of her destiny. And here we are. We're podcasting, you know, in the new year of 2022. And I just feel like, you know, when you can finally take hold of something, way to go. We've talked about it a little bit, but I had, we went through two miscarriages last year in 2021. And, you know, it's something that I think had this dark cloud over me for a lot of 2021. And so I really looked forward to the new year, and yeah. I felt like, okay, I do get a fresh start. And so when Breeda was able to do that, I was just cheering her on. So way to go, Breeda. My bad is Citric
yeah.
has just been, you know, aside from getting his cool haircut,
yep,
he's just been
nothing more than Dane boy that looks like a rat.
Yes. And I guess this could be a good thing, like now he serves a purpose, and we reckon back to when he did have those conflicted looks on his face with Kjartan being murdered the way that he was. But man, letting them all go and saying I'm gonna be on your side now, it bothers me. But I also struggle because I kind of get it a little bit. You know, like at what point do you say, sure, I'll just keep blindly following you. But it just makes me feel yucky. And then my great, you keep wanting to touch something.
I was going to hit this.
Not great, Bob.
Okay, yes.
There you go.
And then my great, you want to know why I love this episode?
Why did you love this episode?
There were no hussies.
Zero hussies
you know,
in this episode.
Uhtred actually focused on something for once. Well, yes. Hussy Ethelfled tried to come over, and she was like, oh, do you want to live with me? And he said, nope.
Ladies.
Bye. I'm actually going to go talk to people I care about. I got Father Bjorka in this episode.
Yep.
I got Breeda in this episode. I got to see Alfred do some cool stuff. We had a fun battle scene. We all knew Uhtred wasn't going to die.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, the only thing that would have made this a five is if Leofricht was in it.
Right. But
all
you know what, though?
All my favorite people were in it.
You know what? You got some great Finnan in this episode, too.
I got great Finnan in this episode.
Great motherly, mother hen Finnan.
Joking and go to bed. You're hangry. Stop fighting. And then taking care of the monk guy. I mean, it would have been a five if I had Leofricht in it.
Yep, fair enough.
How about you?
For me, the good was the little nod that King Alfred gives to Stiapa when Edward says, oh, for Wessex, and they do the charge. And
whenever you talk about Edward, you have to do it in that voice right now.
From now on, we'll do this.
I'm going to be king, Daddy.
It's kind of like the Clare voice in Outlander. Hold on, sorry.
Did a far sauce.
Yes. There we go. But it's a little bit more like this.
A little pubescent boy.
Yes. From now on, that will be the
you mean
the Edward voice.
Every once in a while.
You know, I like that look that he gives, because you know, clearly they need Edward's blessing. Alfred's blessing to do what Edward wants. And you just see this look of confirmation on Alfred's face. It's like, okay, yeah, this is what I wanted. This was the plan. And yeah, okay, go ahead. Go.
Yeah.
Like, this is okay.
He's going to think he told you guys what to do.
Yeah.
But really, it's me.
Really, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's me. I like that. The bad, and this is what I wanted to say earlier when I was giving my Shields rating, but Is it just me, or is it kind of hard to care about what's going on in the Dane camp at all?
Who's Dane camp?
Well, like Bloodhair and Cannot Weasley and Ethelwald, all of that like stuff that's happening with them and Heston.
You're not supposed to care about those people. To me, Heston's still eating chicken.
All the chicken.
I think he eats chicken twice in this episode.
At least two or three times he's eating chicken.
He needs a chicken farm.
And, he needs a Popeyes. We
and
said
Ethelwald.
That last episode.
I mean, I don't care about Cannot Weasley and I don't care about Bloodhair, but I do. I am finding it interesting that Heston continues to be the cockroach that outlives and does all the things he does, needs the chicken, and Ethelwald being outed. So yes, you may not care about the people, but the fact that Ethelwald was outed about the murder, I think that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big deal, but I
especially because Breeda's now tasked with figuring out who it was. Hello.
Yeah, that information
solved.
Is ultimately going to come out somehow, some way. So you know that it's gonna, what ultimately will happen, at least if not this season, then definitely next season, is Breeda and Uhtred getting after Ethelwald in some capacity. It's gonna happen. Yes. It's just a matter of when.
Yes.
But I just find it hard to care about what's going on
with all these
people. Because, and what I mean about the people is, I mean the story of it. Because there's nobody that is...
It's kind of how I felt about Eric and Siegfried for a little while, where you're just like, okay, you're the bad guy number one. But to me, you just gotta follow Heston. I'm telling you.
Heston makes it interesting. Although I will say Cannot Weasley makes it a little bit more interesting because he's clearly maneuvering
evil.
His way for Breeda. And I'm interested to see what happens with he and Breeda. If she accepts what he is going to be,
be my person.
But my great, of course, has to be, and it always will be, Uhtred and Breeda.
Always. Love is eternal.
By the way, that saying is definitely going on a shirt. Love is eternal. It goes on. That is going on a shirt, and I will make that happen today because that is awesome. When I heard that, it like made me tear up a little bit.
You've been very emotional this
week. Wicked emotional. I was wicked emotional. We just saw Spider-Man No Way Home, and I was...
Cried the entire time.
I was a mess that
Not
whole
me,
film.
Blake.
Yeah, me. I did, because I'm
no
a dork,
spoilers.
And I take it very seriously. And I was a little emotional when that happened, when Uhtred and everybody... And that's why I chose it for our opening scene. I was a mess. And the one thing that I really loved, because all the obvious stuff is there, but the little race up the hill... When he asks her to do it and she does, I found that very, very character-driven. And those two, like, that is natural for those two.
Yeah, because they did it when they were seven.
Right.
You know?
And in when she threatens the guys from Cannot Weasley's army and he taps her on the butt with the sword and says, oh, you never change. Those are the little things that you expect from that relationship.
Yes.
And they deliver... wholeheartedly in this episode. Because of that, everything that went on between the two was earned, whether it was that vitriol, whether it was the anger, whether it was that, as Uhtred said, like how she despises him at some times, or even the moments of love and caring and unity. Those are all earned. The emotional math adds up when you look at those two. So that is my great.
Love it.
That's that. Anything else that you got for this episode that you think that warrants an immediate jump in? Do you want to jump right into Citric? Do you want to jump into...
You get to choose. This is a choose your own adventure tonight.
I want to jump into Citric, and I want to know what you think about this. I know you said it was your bad, and you gave a little bit of a reason for it, but I want you to delve into it a little bit more. Why is Citric the bad? And
what, I feel bad for him. I feel bad for him. You know, he's just this little orphan boy who's just trying to figure his way out. He has strong faith, man. He has strong faith about this curse situation. He's been talking about it left and right. He's been without his family, and he just follows Uhtred around all the time.
Yes.
For Uhtred's hussies. Essentially, let's be real.
That's what it kind of comes down to. And Infinity even says so in the midst of this heated battle. This is what we came here for. Go get her.
Yeah.
And, you know, Heston obviously clearly rides off with her and see you later. But I don't know. I just...
I just feel bad for him. So I understand.
Do you think it's
his
earned?
Moment of weakness? Do I think it's earned? Well, he was drunk. That's the other thing, is that Finnan kept saying, you know, you're drinking too much, you're drunk.
Yeah, we haven't
so
slept.
So sometimes people, yeah. I mean, we've all made bad choices when we've been hungry, cranky, because you know Heston took all the chickens. Hungry, cranky, having a little too many cocktails.
Yes.
A little Sassenach wasted.
You know what that is? Bad mix. Yeah. All of those things.
Like, I feel like a lot of people over the holidays, you know, we're stuck with the same people this holiday season, had a little too much eggnog,
yep.
May have said some things they didn't want to say, may have huffed and puffed and maybe done this.
Sure. Just said, you know what? If I see you again, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
This is a bad mix, being hangry, a little bit of drunk, very tired. This is like when you go to the club and you see that girl that's crying in the corner. Because of whatever, you know, that's what she was.
Blake, I really don't like that you see a girl crying in the corner since you're the one who cries all the time in a relationship.
I cry so much. I cry so much.
You'd be the one crying in the corner if we went to a club.
You know, I never used to cry the way that I do. But now, I'm like, I think it's since I had kids. Since I had kids, I am just an emotional wreck.
All those hormones.
So many
from pregnancy and birth.
Oh, thank God guys don't
give
birth.
You're going to die in the zombie apocalypse. Oh, yeah, no. I'm done.
You know, I have no appreciable skills.
Okay, let's move on.
Loud.
You're no Finnan. Let's just be real.
I'm no Finnan.
You may look like Finnan to me.
Yeah, but in all actuality, I'm Citric with no personality. It's fine.
No.
It's totally fine. No problem.
Citric just wants to go home.
Well, here's the thing, though. I think I'm going to give it an early... destined to be theory of the week here. Actually, yeah, you know what? I'm going to. Definitely. Okay. Here comes my
destined
to be theory of the week. I don't believe any of it. I don't believe, like I said for Aldhelm last episode, that there was 0.0 chance he makes it to the end of this season. There is 0.0 chance that Citric is really betraying Uhtred. None.
I mean, he might wake up the next day and say that was a really bad choice.
Nope. I mean, yes.
I had too many mushrooms.
Where's the epicac? No, there is 0.0 chance because this kid has given everything to Uhtred. And yes, I understand that when you do give everything to somebody, there are, in that extreme way, there are extreme emotions involved with that giving over, which could then lead to something like this. But to me, the way that the sequence was shot, they kept showing Dagfinn, the guy that was
stuck his tongue out.
Yeah, stuck his tongue out, did the whole thing. He was
Heston's
number
friend.
Two. Yeah, Heston's bestie. They kept showing him, and it was so obvious that this was all, at least in my opinion, manufactured for Dagfinn.
Like a theatrical performance?
Yes. And okay. I don't think it's a coincidence that it's done in front of Dagfinn, and then Citric lets Dagfinn loose and goes with him. At some point, I think there will come a time when Uhtred, or at least Citric, comes out and says... we got y'all. You know, like it was done for everybody's.
Didn't he do that with Eric and Siegfried?
Siegfried did it.
Okay.
Did he do that with Eric and Siegfried? No.
Oh.
Like, no. He sent Citric over there to talk to Siegfried.
Oh, okay.
And to give him the message.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what that was. So that's what I see. I don't see Citric betraying Uhtred this way.
Okay.
And
I can
so quickly
that.
And just so like.
Neither
on
can
a dime.
Finnan. Neither can Finnan. Okay. He's sitting there saying, you wouldn't normally be saying this.
I know. Sit down. Let's all sit. You know what? Let's sleep on it.
It reminds me of Hermione when she's like, Ron, take off the Horcrux. Yeah. You wouldn't normally be speaking like this. You don't mean that, Ron.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Oh, man. Yeah. It is a very Harry and Ron kind of style fight.
Okay, I dig it.
But in this case, I think it's all manufactured.
Okay.
Regardless. So that's that. What did you make of...
What's going to happen to the monk? Is he going to be okay? Osferth.
Osferth's going to be fine.
Okay.
He's going to live.
He's going to
live. You want to know why he's going to live?
What? Why?
I think he's going to live because he finally, I think, earned a little respect in the eyes of Uhtred and Finan and all the people that have been
Finan
fighting.
Finan loves him.
Finan does.
So cute with Osferth.
He baby mom. He looks like him like a baby brother. I think.
Yes.
But Osferth finally comes in battles mm-hmm. and Uhtred even says that, oh yeah, you made a lot of people's heads sore. Like instead mm-hmm. of like killing them, you just gave them a bonk on the head. I think because of that, he lives.
Okay.
And I think there's still some more there for Osferth to come through.
Can we talk about the battle?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. What did you think about it?
I knew Uhtred. Well, the thing is I knew Uhtred wasn't going to die. So he could have either been imprisoned or that he was going to be saved by, you know, the army. So I knew that was going to happen. This is the main character. This isn't Game of Thrones.
This wasn't about Uhtred necessarily. This was about Edward.
Yeah.
And that's why it was effective, in my opinion.
But Skade's still gone. She's still with Heston.
And she still awkward. Sucks.
Yeah, she's... But see, not a lot of time with her, so no hussies in this episode.
That's true. Good point.
but it was a very gross battle.
A lot of throats being cut.
Yeah, it was nasty. A lot of
blood flying around.
No.
Definitely not Mary friendly.
But I was very happy that they came in and saved the day, of course. And it is interesting that they just didn't kill them all. They did take all these prisoners.
Yes. Why do you think they did that? Why do you think they took the prisoners instead of just offing them?
I don't know. Do they always kill everybody?
No, I mean, I don't think so.
I don't think that's Alfred's way.
Probably
right. It's not the Christian way.
No, is it Edward's way?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
What do you think about Edward and that whole thing with Alfred? How that all went down?
I loved it. I loved how he
loved it too.
Was like, father, father, father. And then he finally just did it. So I'm really proud of him.
Father.
But it makes me think of...
We can't do this. We can't just wait to do nothing. Sorry.
I loved it. I think it was great. And now, you know, the juniors, the daughter, Ethel fled, Princess Ethel fled, and Prince Edward, you know, they're going to have a better relationship with Uhtred. So I'm excited for this because it's a really toxic, weird relationship between him and Alfred. And I feel a much greater level of respect from the fledlings.
The fledlings. Good one. Good one. The funny thing is I feel kind of bad for Edward. I feel bad because, and I have experience with this, when you're in the shadow of your father and there are all these expectations and you're trying to do the right thing, and Edward is becoming the vision of what Alfred wants instead of what Edward wants.
Yes.
And that's hard.
He's even getting a new wife.
He's getting a new wife and he's okay with it. And he's like, I can't, like, I want to be, you know, I'm going to do everything for you, Dad, and I'm going to do whatever you want and everything's going to be okay. And because you called me that you said that I earned this like a king. And
except he did it in a really jerk way.
Like, oh, he went, he did Alfred. One thing and then said the other.
I don't know. It wasn't a good compliment.
That's a very Alfred move for me.
Oh, it is.
It was a backhanded compliment.
Yes.
Backhanded. Very entry-level backhanded compliment. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for Edward because Edward thinks he's doing the right thing. And I think he's even convincing himself that he's doing the right thing.
Agreed.
You know what? Here is another Destined to Be Theory of the Week.
Oh, wow.
Things with Edward, if not this season, then next season or the future seasons, things between Edward and Uhtred go very wrong.
Now, Edward was the mud baby, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Things go very wrong between them. Because I think Edward will recognize the fact, I'm freaking Edward. My dad's not, because we all know Alfred's going to croak, right? It's going to
really
happen.
Soon.
Probably by the end of this season. Edward's going to realize, I don't have to be the guy that my dad wanted me to be. I don't have to do what my dad said. And when that...
He's going to be singing, oh, I just can't wait to be king. No one's saying do this.
he is going to be
no
a young Simba.
Be there. No one's saying stop that.
Stop that. Yeah, no, he is the young Simba.
He is.
And without the years of learning... on how
not the Hakuna Matata Simba.
No, young Simba running around thinking he's awesome.
Yes.
So things are going to be difficult between them, and I don't think that Aelswyth is going to help.
Aelswyth,
Alfred's
queen.
Wife,
Aelswyth.
Queen. Okay. I don't think Aelswyth's going to help this. And the funny thing is that Alfred, in his wisdom, recognizes the fact that Edward needs Uhtred.
Yes.
Needs him.
So he talks to Bianca.
Yes.
And he says, you get to know the secret. You're the secret keeper. I feel like Bianca was just sitting there saying, no kidding. Your whole family, this whole country needs Uhtred. What are you trying to tell me?
Welcome to the party, pal. Yeah.
Like, oh, just so you know, we're still going to need Uhtred's help. Everyone knows this secret, but okay, man.
Yeah.
This is your dying
wish.
Well,
the secret ultimately, I think, is Alfred wants Uhtred to remain an outlaw.
While
Alfred is alive. And then Edward has to make the choice.
But then once Alfred's dead, does Uhtred become un-outlawed?
Yes, because it will then be up to Edward. Okay. And Alfred is relying on Bianca to counsel Edward to move in that direction.
Okay.
That, to me, is the secret, as opposed to Edward needing Uhtred.
Okay.
That whole thing. But I don't see this thing between Uhtred and Edward going well. And
well, especially once he starts to bang his sister.
Yeah, it's probably not going to help matters either.
No.
Another thing, too, is, I mean, let's just all look at the elephant in the room here. Let's all just acknowledge
which elephant?
The elephant is this. Edward is alive because Uhtred unknowingly sacrificed his baby.
Mud baby.
The other mud baby, Edward. And there's even an indirect reference to it when Uhtred says to Alfred, you know, if Edward was my son, I'd be proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's there for a very specific reason.
Yeah.
Because Uhtred very well knows that his son died to save, at least in his eyes,
and
to save Edward.
And just the age, you know, you think about it. That is how old Uhtred's son is supposed to be,
Exactly.
Like, even like what I was just saying about how we've had these miscarriages this year, like there's a couple of friends who've had babies around the time that our first lost baby was supposed to happen. It's like, oh, that's what our baby would have been doing right now. Like whenever you lose a child, you know, the comparable children, that's what you do. You think in your head, like, okay, if that was my son, that's how old he would be.
Yes.
And I would have been proud of that choice.
Yes, absolutely. So this episode, I think, is full of tension and high emotion.
Lots of stick and butt references.
So many.
So happy that came back.
References. I know that is great, and that actually is a great kind of lead into what I wanted to say, which is there are many aspects of humor and anger and just heightened emotions. It's a very well-balanced episode.
That's why it's a 4.9.
The thing about it, though, is that in addition to all that, we have this influence of mysticism and magic and curses. And the show, I think, is in a roundabout way coming back again to once again give validation to Skade's powers through other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the best choice.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've seen Story and Breeda since season one.
Yes.
And we've known that Breeda has had some kind of power, and we've known that Story may have some kind of power. And he, of course, put that curse on her in season one. So to see other people have magic, you know.
Yeah.
It does. It brings validity that Skade's magic can also be real. And I like that. And I like that we're learning more about the mythology of how these curses work.
Sure. All right. So Story is back. Well, at least a little bit. And
he lives in like a Star Wars cave with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Drinking blue milk.
And I love his little, you know, he stores all of his stuff, and his door is pretty obvious. I mean, if anyone came walking by, they'd say somebody lives in that cave.
Yeah. Who's that?
He just puts all of his silver in there and stuff. I mean, maybe because he's witchy, people might be scared and they might not come in. But I just didn't find that to be a very secure household.
Not a secure household. And I'm not surprised.
I loved the exit routes, though.
I was just going to say, not surprised there's an exit route.
Yes.
Not surprised that he tried to use it. Mm-hmm. And we learn what Story finally whispered. Well, we finally learn, rather, what he whispered to Breeda in season one, which yes. is that she would be barren for mm-hmm. the rest of her life. And we also
I'm wondering, though, if she's now not going to be barren because she killed him.
Well, that's the thing. We also learned that Breeda knew how to kill a curse, and mm-hmm. she knew how to kill the curse even when Uhtred showed up with Skade mm-hmm. To Ragnar's place. Mm-hmm. And she didn't do it because she wanted Uhtred to suffer.
Yes.
Like, she was willing to help him out a little bit, mm-hmm. but she wanted him to suffer.
Suffer and also see, how long is he going to be here for? Is this guy going to actually be true to his word this time?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't blame her.
Why do you think she didn't, like, seek out Story to begin with? If she knew how to kill the curse, Breeda feels to me like the person that would be like, nah, would I'm going to go get this guy. I know where. We'll find him. We'll find him.
I think she had other things to do.
Yeah.
And I think she was really embarrassed. You know, Uhtred knew, and she lost one with Uhtred. I think if anybody, she could have asked Ragnar, but she might have been embarrassed.
Maybe she didn't want to admit it. That's fair. And I vaguely remember her saying something along the lines
of... You can't talk about it, maybe?
Like, she didn't do it because she's a warrior first, or something along those mm-hmm. lines.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember that. And that, to me, is a very writerly reason for her not doing it. Like, that is a tool that a writer would use to legitimize her not seeking out this curse kill.
Okay. Agreed. A little convenient.
Yeah, it's a little convenient. But I'm willing to buy it because I would buy that Breeda would take something like that to the level mm-hmm. that... it would need to go in order to validate that. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
Okay, so rewind. The whole point of Story was, let's figure out how to get Ragnar to
Valhalla. From Niflheim.
Yes. I understand that Breeda has to kill the murderer. She has to kill Ethelwald. I didn't understand the part where they need Tura.
Okay, so in order... Right, first, let's go over this real quick.
Okay.
Number one...
Ragnar is in Niflheim, which is Dane hell, because yeah. he doesn't have a sword in his hand when he died.
Correct.
Okay.
So then Breeda comes and she says, we need to get Ragnar out. And she and Uhtred decide, okay, we're going to do this together. And Uhtred says, I'm not going to leave your side until we figure this out.
Love it.
Then they meet up with Story. She gets the information that she needs, and then she kills Story, and she does it without getting any blood or breaking the skin.
Yes.
She strangles him to death. She knows that's how you kill the curse.
Yes.
Which makes me wonder how they're going to kill Skade.
Poison.
That's a good one.
That's what I think. I don't think Uhtred could, like, strangle her.
I don't think he's going to straight up strangle her.
Yeah.
It would be no. I don't think they would do that because Story
That's
was already strangled.
That's not an Uhtred thing to do.
But not, I don't think poison is either.
Breeda will put it, and Uhtred will hand it, and he won't know that he accidentally killed her.
Oh, that's a good one. Kind of like Dobby in the sock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay, I got you. I like it.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Let's see.
Okay, so you were.
So we have that, and then the idea is. You have to kill the guy that killed Ragnar, or kill the person who killed Ragnar.
You have to kill Ethelwald.
Ethelwald with a sword or whatever dipped in the blood of the person that it has to leave Niflheim. Right. Okay. So they need Tura.
They don't need Ragnar's sword. Or do they need Ragnar's sword?
I don't think they need the sword.
Okay,
I think they
then
just
they have
need
to dig that whole thing up.
Right. I think they just need
a sword with
his blood on it.
Tura's
obviously
blood.
He's dead, so they can't get his blood.
I mean, they could.
Well, how long has he been dead for? That's a question.
There's still blood in him, just dry.
But he's also buried, and I'm sure that they don't want to exhume his body. Agreed. For that reason. By the way, the scene of Uhtred burying Thor's hammer. Oh, my God. Oh.
More tears from Blake.
So many tears. He's crying, and he's... digging the thing with his hands, and I'm sitting there watching. So I didn't tell this to you, but I'm watching this, and all I want to do is just give my son a necklace of Thor's hammer now.
I believe it.
That was so many tears. It has to be dipped in the blood, which is why they need Tura, because Tura is Ragnar's blood sister. Okay. See what I'm saying?
I know. It's just so gross. How are they going to go up to her and be like, by the way, can we take some of your blood?
Yeah, you just cut her hand a little.
Yeah,
a bit,
and like put
blood.
It in a little vial. Yeah, and how sure. do you carry it? How does it not dry out? Do you have really good stoppers? I mean, how is this sanitary?
Well, they got stoppers for the ale. I'm sure they got stoppers for little vials. Why not? I'm sure they got some cork laying around somewhere.
Out. So grossed out.
So that is the goal that they're going to get Tura eventually. They're going to find out, which to me screams that Tora does not make it through this season.
Oh, I see it as Tora finally has a use and she goes crazy again and she helps kill him.
Oh, I like that idea too.
I can do something finally. Yay! I'm going to tap into my crazy dog woman.
That's the idea behind them. And
that will break Bianca when she dies. So let's let her stay alive a little bit and she can just get a little witchy.
I don't want her to die because I love Bianca so much. I just want...
I want crazy dog girl back.
Just for at least for a little bit.
Yeah.
That'd be good. And it would be poetic in that if she kills Ethelwald...
Yeah.
It'll be poetic in a way that...
She doesn't need to kill him, but she needs to be part of the process.
Well, I like the I like the idea that she kills him, and she does it the same way that Ragnar killed Kjartan. Just crazy stabbing.
That's what I'm talking
It would
about.
Be poetic. It would Agreed. Rhyme with Ragnar, and I would like that.
Just Bianca can't watch that. He won't be able to unsee that.
No, he won't. And I'm worried about Bianca this season, and I'm worried about...
He's just too happy. He thinks things are going fine.
Too many things are going right. Yeah. And, you know, he's joking about Uhtred, saying, oh, I could dip him in the waters 1,000 times and he still wouldn't find God and, you know, the whole thing. Something's just too many things going right for him.
Agreed.
And I think there's just too many narrative pieces that need to be wrapped up or at least carried. And they're going to have to purge here a little bit, I think. And I think that's what's going to happen by the end of the season.
Aww.
That's my guess. And okay. Sorry, go ahead.
No. So are we done with them? Are we done with Breeda? Are we done with curses? Now that I understand it.
I would say the stuff with Breeda is probably some of the best stuff this season. Would you agree?
Yes.
I would.
Which is why I gave it a 4.9. And I love her hair. Oh, it's kind of like the witch from Narnia as her crown starts to melt.
Yes. I really love it. Oh my goodness. I like that there is a recognition from the writers about Breeda and Uhtred, the relationship that they have from the first season, that there is this connection that he does say, oh, I love you. I mean, not like a wife, not anymore.
But, yeah, but he also talks about Gisel a lot. So you get right. that understanding yes. that I'm not ready to move on to my next hussy.
Yes. And that's a great admission too, right?
Hey. He has matured a bit.
A little bit?
Yeah.
I think he's showing some maturity.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't even try. There's nothing there. It just, I think about Gisela every time I wake up and every time I go to bed. That's a great admission. That's a small but important admission.
Agreed.
And there's also an admission that they recognize that they are going to be there with each other. Both Breeda and Uhtred, that she is everything to him. Mm-hmm. He is everything to her. They share their own madness, that all of it. I'm in, man. I'm in. Yeah. I'm in on this little side quest, if you will, of them trying to get Ragnar of Niflheim in into Valhalla. Mm-hmm. I'm in on it. And if I have to grit my teeth through the stuff with Story, then I will. Then I will. Because
the story's dead now.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just, if I had to grit my teeth through it, then okay, fine. That's what we'll do. And that will give me a chance to earn the Breeda Uhtred thing.
Yes.
Anything else that you want to talk about in this episode?
No, I really enjoyed it.
There are two things that I wanted to point out. There are two very
We did have to talk about.
What?
Just the outing of Ethelwald.
Yes. What did you think about that?
Oh, Knut Weasley, maybe the worst Weasley. ever.
He's worse than Percy.
I don't know if that was planned or if he just did it because he just thought, whatever, I can't go wrong.
Yeah.
I loved watching Bloodhair's face.
Oh, yeah. And like,
this guy really killed Ragnar.
This fool did mm-hmm. that? Like,
and then Hector eating his chicken.
Heston,
whatever.
Hector.
Heston eating his chicken, just like laughing.
Right.
You know, this is great.
Get out of here. And then they send him back. Ethelwald. Do you think Ethelwald actually does go back?
He's not going to have a choice.
He's got to know, though, that even if he does do whatever they want him to do, they're still going to treat him like a bag of...
I know. I do.
You know,
yeah.
Like a bag of crap.
I do love Ethelwald's teal outfit, though. He's keeping it really nice. His little manservant.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
He must wash that teal outfit every day. It's gorgeous. Gorgeous. Yeah. No, Ethelwald, I don't know how he's made it this far, but he is going to continue to make it a little further.
And there's a great moment, too, where when his little servant, is it Offa? I think it's Offa, says to him, oh, Lord. And he says, yes, thank you for reminding me that I am a Lord. Mm-hmm. You forget that Ethelwald did have an entire life, and he did throw that entire life away for drinking and whoring and all the stuff.
You know, I think they will let him in because they just let in all of those prisoners that are the Danes. So I think Alfred just doesn't want to kill anybody that much right now. If he didn't kill those people, maybe Alfred is just saying, you know, whatevs, man.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think there's also a level, too, of like, okay, even if Alfred knew it was the right thing to do to kill Ethelwald, that's still his brother's son. Like, still his nephew, right? Like, that's still a thing. Like, he didn't kill him when he probably should have, because that was his nephew.
Yeah.
Right? So...
And story-wise, we have to let him live.
Yeah, I would say
for a little longer.
I would say that he's got a little bit of plot armor going on right now. You know, as does Finnan and... Do you think Citric has plot armor?
No, and I don't think Finnan does.
You don't think so?
No, I think the only people who get to definitely stay alive right now are Uhtred and Ethelwald and Edward. Everyone else can die.
I would say Edward has plot armor, Uhtred, and I would say Ethelfled has plot armor.
Yeah, Ethelfled too. Not that they can't die ever, but I'm just saying within this season, I don't.
Yeah,
see
no,
them.
They're protected, and that's the whole. Like, when you have plot armor, that means the plot of the story, that in which you're taking part, is protecting you. The story can't move forward if you're not.
By the way,
in it.
Watching this show during a pandemic has been kind of weird because like nobody's died from random sickness aside from Edward almost dying.
Yeah, good point. I like that.
You know?
Poor little baby Edward coughing so much.
What vitamins do these people take?
So much vitamin C.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this orange juice just flying around everywhere. That ain't ale. That's orange juice.
That's emergency packets.
All right. So two things that I do really want to pick out here. During their argument, Uhtred calls Citric Kjartansson. Which is a reference to the fact that he is the bastard son of Kjartan. Yeah, it is kind of like calling him a mudblood. And like that is just digging that needle right in there. And that, once again, to me is I understand the extreme levels of emotion that's happening here. But that to me is a little too theatric for Uhtred, in my opinion.
Okay.
And because of that, I don't believe any of this.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons. But... You know, the fact of the matter is calling him Kjartansson is probably not great, Bob. And that is a very public dissing of Citric. So just take that for what it is.
Okay.
Also, the fact that Uhtred told Ethelfled when they were speaking that it was his choice to go save her, yet at the same time, he tells Brita that it was his fate to save Ethelfled. Those are two very different things. You know, and we just got done watching The Matrix Resurrections. And part of that film is, okay, what is choice and what is prescribed? And how do you reconcile that? That's a huge part of that film. And I saw a parallel here because what is Uhtred trying to say to both? Is he just trying to placate both? Is it something that he really believes? And if he does believe it, how is he reconciling his choice to save Ethelfled with the fate of saving Ethelfled?
You just got deep, man.
Yeah, that's what I tend to do.
I know.
I tend to do that.
I just kind of spaced out.
But
I know, I hear you.
I find that a very detailed writing for that character. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that if you don't pay attention, it's just going to go right over your head.
Yep, like it did mine.
And that's okay. Like those are little things that you see that are textured for a character if you're really watching it with intent. Mm-hmm. So that is that. Nothing else?
Nope.
Okay, fair enough. We don't have any listener feedback for this particular episode. That's okay. So if you do want to get to us, please comment at jointhenerdclan.com, where most of our comments do come from. Although you can email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. And since I already gave you two Destined to Be Theories of the Week, which would have been brought to you by the Mary and Blake store, go to the maryandblakestore.com to get all of the great stuff that we have going on there, including the newly minted Love is Eternal, It Goes On shirt. Go to the maryandblakestore.com where you'll be able to get that. You ready to close this bad boy out, Marvin?
I sure am.
Let's do it.
We want to thank you all so incredibly much for taking the time to hang out with us. Remember, if you have not yet written us a review in Apple Podcasts, you can head on over there. Not just the stars, but also write us a little something. It means a lot to us, and it helps other Last Kingdom friends find the podcast. Blake and I are going to have a very, very, very full schedule of podcasting over the next 4 months.
Yes.
So if you watch the show This Is Us, we do a podcast called This Is Us Too.
That's starting back
up. That starts
on Wednesday.
Yep. And then we also still have the Potterverse, where we're tackling the Goblet of Fire. And then Outlander starts back up in early March. So we'll be tackling Outlander cast again. And Bridgerton comes out in late March.
Yes.
So
we got a lot. And who knows when The Crown comes out? Like, we got that going on.
Yeah. So we're going to be really busy and podcasting a lot. Make sure you follow us on our social media channels. And if you are a fan of any of those shows, we would love for you to check out the other podcasts.
I want to read one of the latest reviews that we have on Apple Podcasts, just because, you know what? It's good to hear them. And it's good to just recognize the people that do send them to us. This one comes from Poised Pink. I would imagine that it's a she. She says, love, love, love. This is the perfect companion for watching The Last Kingdom. The plot and characters on the show can be confusing at first, so having Mary and Blake to discuss, in quotes, the show with them makes it that much more entertaining. I love all of Mary and Blake's hilarious commentary, banter, and explanations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Poised Pink. I really appreciate that. So, please go to all the social channels where we are. Mary and Blake, you'll be able to follow us on Instagram, YouTube,
Facebook,
Twitter, all of it. And you'll be able to keep up with all of the things that we'll be podcasting about each and pretty much every day almost, what it's going to feel like over the next few months. So whether it is all the shows that Mary had mentioned or even just keeping up with our knee-jerk reactions to movies that we've watched recently at jointhenerdclan.com. We will be having one that we just watched for Spider-Man No Way Home, as we mentioned. And I will do one for The Matrix Resurrections as well. You'll only be able to get those at jointhenerdclan.com.
All right. Well, on that note, my name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.